If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. Once again, we take great joy in greeting you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're rejoicing in the blessings of God upon us here at Worth Baptist Church in the days of the fall. The month of October in our Sunday school is Enlargement Month, and the last Sunday of the month, the 28th, is Roundup Day. On that Sunday, we are looking for 600 in Sunday school. Let me give you now a personal invitation to be with us in Sunday school on October the 28th for our Roundup Day and be one of the 600 in our Roundup Sunday school. But even for today, I trust that you'd make plans now to be in our Sunday school at 10 o'clock. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church is carefully supervised, it is thoroughly organized, and we have but one textbook, the Bible. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. So we invite you to come today to visit the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11. And our Sunday evening worship service is at 7. You'll discover a warm welcome and a friendly and spiritual atmosphere in which to worship the Lord in all the services of Worth Baptist Church today. And then on the radio broadcast, we are now in anniversary month. Last Sunday, the first Sunday of October, we celebrated our fourth anniversary of broadcasting the gospel over this station. Now, I hope that during the days of October, as we enter our fifth month, or rather our fifth year of broadcasting, and as we have designated this as anniversary month, I trust that you'll take time to write us. We're not asking you to send any monies to this broadcast. We simply want you to write us and let us know that you hear it and that it is a blessing to your heart. For all who will write during anniversary month, the month of October, we are going to send one of my books of sermons entitled, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. This book contains seven messages on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of those messages is entitled, The Battle of Armageddon. And we believe today, as things are shaping up in our world, the conflict in the Middle East, the so-called Holy War, or War of Judgment, as some have called it, we believe these things are setting the stage for the return of the Lord Jesus in rapture for His own, and then for the Great Tribulation period, and then comes the return of Christ in Revelation glory to establish His kingdom upon the earth, and the Battle of Armageddon will be fought. Now, the Battle of Armageddon, described in the Revelation and prophesied in the book of Zechariah, for example, in chapter 14, God says, I will bring together all nations against Jerusalem for the battle. And that is precisely what is happening today. God is fulfilling His prophetic word, and the nations of earth are gathering in the Mediterranean, just like Zechariah prophesied they would. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in dark and crises days. These are difficult times in which we live. These are the days that are spoken of by the Apostle Paul, who tells us that in the last days, difficult, perilous times will come, and those days are upon us. So I believe that every Christian ought to be knowledgeable about the prophecy of the Word of God. Therefore, I'm asking you to simply write during anniversary month, and I hope that you'll do it even today, write and request the book of sermons, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. All you need to do is write and request it, and you can do it today. Write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And we will send you free and without obligation, postage paid, the book entitled, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. Write today for yours to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The Church with the Open Door. I shall read from the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. But first I want us to pause in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for the Bible and for the prophetic word. And we thank Thee that we are seeing the words of prophecy come to pass in our own day and in our own lifetime. We would pray today that Thou wouldst use the message on this broadcast to bring men to Christ and to bring those who are outside the confines of the church and out of touch with the church and out of fellowship with Thy people, bring them to the place today that they would be resolved that they'll come back to church and get back on the firing line and serve Christ in these dark and crisis days. Bless everyone who listens, those who are in the hospitals and those in the rest homes and in their own homes or wherever they might be today. May this broadcast be a special blessing to every listener. This is our prayer and these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now 2 Chronicles chapter 29, I read beginning at verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites, and gathered them together into the east street, and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed, and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. Also they have shut up the doors of the porch, and put out the lamps, and have not burned incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. God has always had a prescribed place to meet His people. He met Noah in the ark. He met Abraham in the door of his tent. He met Moses on Mount Sinai. He met Israel first in the tabernacle in the wilderness and then in the temple in Jerusalem. Now in this age, in this dispensation of grace, in the age that we call the church age, God meets us in the church. And so I've entitled my message, The Church with the Open Door. My text tells us about the great reform and the great revival brought about in the days of Hezekiah. We read that in the first year of his reign, even in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. This suggests that worship had come to an halt. This suggests that the people no longer were attending the house of God. So Hezekiah, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, opened the doors of the temple, the house of God, and repaired it. In these verses 6 and 7 that we read a moment ago, we find the following things that the people had done. They had trespassed the laws of God. They had done evil in the sight of the Lord. They had forsaken God. They had turned their backs upon God. They had shut the doors of the temple. They had let the lights burn out, and they had discontinued the services of worship. What they needed in those days was a revival, and that revival came when Hezekiah opened the doors of the Lord, or the Lord's house, and brought the people back to the place of worship. And what we need in our day more than anything else is a revival. I can see the need of it more today than ever before in my ministry. As I read the papers and listen to the newscasts, and I see what's happening in Israel and I see what's taking place in the world of the Mediterranean, I know that the end of this age is rapidly approaching. For you see, the things that are happening there today are setting the stage for the Battle of Armageddon. And before that battle is fought, Christ will come in rapture for His own. And then the Great Tribulation period, a period of some 7 years, will run its course. And then comes the Battle of Armageddon. The prophet Zechariah speaks of it in these terms. God says, I will bring together all nations around Jerusalem to battle. And he's speaking of the Battle of Armageddon. Well, the nations of earth are gathering around Jerusalem today in the Mediterranean Sea. So the stage is being set and the groundwork is being laid for the culmination of this age, the coming of Christ, the tribulation, and then the Battle of Armageddon. So these things are close upon us. Therefore, I repeat, we need more than anything else and more than any time in our history a sweeping revival, a spiritual awakening, a revival that will turn us back to God. And when we see the doors of the house of the Lord being opened, we believe that revival will come. That happened in the days of Hezekiah. The house of God was opened. It was cleaned. They discovered a new dimension in worship. They experienced a time of great growth and rejoicing. And verse 37 of this chapter tells us that these things were done suddenly. They did not waste any time. And we have no time to waste in 1973. What we do for Christ, we must do quickly, because the end of the age is approaching and the coming of Christ is imminent. God keeps a close vigil over the church. In the Revelation, John sees Christ walking among the candlesticks. Christ is making a personal investigation, a personal inspection, a personal appraisal of the churches. And you know, I believe somehow today that God is doing the same thing. And I believe if Jesus Christ, as it were, come and stood in our churches and walked among our churches, He would give us the same indictment that He gave the church at Ephesus. And that was this: thou hast left thy first love. Because many people today in the world of Christendom have done precisely that. As we observe the operation of the church today, we must conclude that much the same as happened in the temple in the days of Hezekiah is happening in our day. For in our day we have transgressed the laws of God. We have done evil in the sight of the Lord. We have forsaken God in favor of the world. We have turned our backs upon the Lord. We have shut the doors of the church. We have let the lights burn out. We have neglected the services of worship. Therefore, all of this underscores the need of revival in our day. And we will have revival when we open the doors of the church and when we pray and ask God to forgive us and turn from our evil ways and seek the face of the Lord. I believe the church in the 20th century must be a church with open doors. And I submit to you three reasons why we must open the doors of the church. First, we must open the doors of the church to let God in. Now, that might sound like a strange statement. Let God in? Well, perhaps it will not sound too strangely after this illustration. I read once where a working man presented himself for membership in a worldly, wealthy church. The church official told him to pray about it and seek God's guidance in the matter, and then come back and they would consider his application. During the week, this man shared his experience with a fellow worker. The fellow worker asked him, "Well, did you talk to the Lord about it?" And the man answered, "Yes." The fellow worker said, "Well, what did God say?" And the man said, "Well, it seemed I could hear Him say, 'Son, don't feel too bad about it. I've been trying for 25 years to get in that church myself.'" So you see, God has been shut out of many churches in the world today. We've adopted our own programs and our own plans and our own projects and our own promotions, but we've left very little room for the working of the Holy Spirit in the average modern church. So I repeat, we must open the doors of the church to let God in. And then in the second place, we must open the doors of the church to let the people in. I saw a sign in front of a church one time that read like this: "You are not too bad to come in, and you're not too good to stay out." And that's the way it is. Nobody is too bad but what they can come into the house of the Lord. And nobody is so good that they do not need what's going on inside the church. Now, I know that you might feel today, "Well, I'm as good as those people in the church, and I can serve God outside, and I don't have to go to church." Well, you don't have to go to church, my friend, but you cannot be the Christian, you cannot be the influence and the testimony that you need to be as long as you're outside the fellowship of the church. God is working through the church, and God is in the church, and that's where you and I must be if we're going to share the good things of the Lord and then go out and win other people to Christ. So it is important for people to come into the church. I read where one big city church had on their bulletin board outside in the front lawn this sign: "This church is the gateway to heaven." Then it had the schedule, the Sunday school time, the morning worship time, and then in parentheses it had, "Closed on Sunday evening." Now, can you imagine such a paradox as that? The sign read, "This church is the gateway to heaven." And then it had "closed on Sunday evening." Well, I believe this about closing the doors of the church. I believe that closing the doors of the church, when there are sinners dying all about it, is like closing the doors of a hospital when an epidemic is raging. We must not close the doors of the church. We must continue to open them in 1973 that all people might come in and worship God. Then there's a third reason why we must open the doors of the church, and that is this: we must open the doors of the church to let all that is unclean out. I read in verse 5, "Carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place." Jealousy is filthy, and it must be carried out. Gossip is filthy, and it must be carried out. Hatred and prejudice are filthy, and these must be carried out. Selfishness is filthy, and selfishness must be carried outside the church. An unforgiving spirit is filthy, and it must be carried out. Bitterness is filthy, and it must be carried out. Lust is filthy. Criticism is filthy. Covetousness is filthy. Indifference is filthy. Sin in any form or fashion is filthy, and all these things must be carried outside the church. There is no room in the house of God for jealousy. There's no room for covetousness. There's no room for sin. There's no room for an unforgiving, unclean spirit inside the house of God. So the doors of the church must be opened to let all that is filthy out. And I believe God will send revival when we let Him in and let the people in and take out all that is filthy from the house of God. I wish that we would heed the words of this little poem in our churches all over the city and all over the nation. It's entitled, "We Cleaned Our Little Church." We cleaned our little church today, wiped all the dust and dirt away. We straightened papers, washed the floors, wiped off the lights and painted doors. We brushed the dirt stains from the books and whisked the cobwebs from the nooks. We polished windows so we'd see the newly green shrub and tree. The men folks, too, raked up the yard. They laughed and said it wasn't hard. And oh, it felt so very good to have the place look as it should. We said how wonderful 'twould be if we cleaned out what we cannot see, such things as grudges, hates, and lies, and musty thoughts much worse than flies. If all would let God's Spirit in to cleanse each heart from soiling sin, ah, then our church would really shine, and our fellowship would be divine. I have a footnote, and then I'll be through with my message. Before we can open the doors of the church, We must open the doors of our hearts. And so I admonish you now, in the closing moments of the broadcast, open the door of your heart. Let Christ come in. Let Him forgive your sins. Let Him give you a new life. And let Him be the Lord and Master of your being. You can do that right now. As you bow and pray the sinner's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If you're listening today and you are a Christian, but you're out of touch with the church and out of fellowship with God and with God's people, I admonish you, in view of the trying days in which we live, in view of the soon coming of Christ, get back into church. Put God first in your life. Be a part of the church today. Come today to Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. May I say again, in view of the critical hour in which we live, we're calling on you to pray today. We're calling on you to fill the churches all over the city of Fort Worth, where we'll have special prayer here at Worth Baptist anyway, for the Middle East conflict, because we believe these things will affect all the nations of earth. So I'm calling on you to come to church today, to Worth Baptist Church, and join with us in prayer concerning the crises and the war that's raging in the Middle East. Remember, our doors are open to you at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And may I say again, for those of you who write in anniversary month, the month of October, we will send you free and postage paid our book of sermons entitled, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. Write today for your free copy, and may the Lord bless you as you do. And now, until next Lord's Day, at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.